Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Please visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for all of these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. And I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Laura.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I want to thank Veronica for asking me, and welcome to all the new people, and congratulations to our ship taker, Bridget. So to qualify, I have my abstinence date is April 7th, 2008, so I have 7 years, 11 months, and like 3 weeks. I'm down around 65 pounds, and that number changes because I'm not a statue, and I have learned that here, and it fluctuates about 2 or 3 pounds, which I'm totally fine with, and that is a miracle of this program. And I have a sponsor, and I sponsor, and some of my sponsees are here tonight, and that's really awesome. So what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I think I was born a compulsive overeater. I was born with a head that just did not stop. Growing up, I didn't pick up the food until I was around 13. But I just remember being obsessed with your body and my body, and I was obsessed with what you thought about my body, and I was obsessed with bodies, and I was obsessed with being thin. And as a small child, I knew that I was better than my best friend Mary because she had a belly and I didn't, and that made me feel better than her. I was just obsessed with the outside. And I love this story because it's so true for me. I have 2 older sisters and a little brother, and I grew up in Nashville, and we had a really steep hill. And when it would rain, it would create a lot of mud at the bottom of the hill. And my mom would give us little pan pies, and she would tell us to go out and make chocolate pies. And I would always try to eat the mud. And I just thought it was food and chocolate, and I wanted to, like, I couldn't get enough of it. And nobody else ate it. There is this picture of my brother at his first birthday, who I'm really close with. And my grandfather's in it, and my sisters are in it, and everyone is looking at the camera except for me, and my hand is in the cake, and I have, like, cake on my face, and I'm completely checked out. I have pictures of those things. I don't remember picking up the food compulsively until I was around 12 or 13, but I was just obsessed and uncomfortable, and I grew up in, like, a really, really great home. Like, my biggest problem is that, like, my parents love me too much. Like, they adore the ground I walk on, and I, like, adore the ground they walk on, and I'm very close with my family. But there was still a lot of chaos, and I was still really uncomfortable. And I didn't like when my body changed. That was really uncomfortable. I didn't like when I got boobs and my mom called them buds, and I was like, ew, gross. Like, what is that, you know? And I was just uncomfortable, and I didn't want attention. That is how I grew up. I thought my sisters were gorgeous, and, like, I could never be as pretty as they were. I could never be as thin as they were. I just constantly compared myself to other people all the time. I want to talk in a general term, and this is not why I'm a compulsive overeater, because I was crazy before, but, I was sexually assaulted at 13, and that really dramatically shifted something in me, and I remember picking up the food, and I'm grateful that I picked up the food, because I didn't pick up drugs, and I didn't pick up alcohol until later, and I just remember the moment that, like, I bit into a honey bun. Okay, I remember the moment I bit into a honey bun, and I remember, like, saying to myself, like, this is going to solve all of my problems. It's going to be okay. Just keep eating. And I, like, packed on weight. And so my top weight is 222. I'm 157 right now. I'm 5'7"-ish. Jumping way ahead, I'm really comfortable in my body today. If you hear nothing else, like, I am comfortable in my body. I did not know that that was ever achievable. I just was like, I'm just going to be uncomfortable in my body for the rest of my life. That's not how I feel today. And so I picked up the food, and a lot else came with it. You guys, I, like, have the burps tonight, and it's really uncomfortable. That's why I keep this. So it's got kombucha. Which I was drinking kombucha right before the meeting with my sponsee, and it looked like pink lemonade, the color of it. And we were like, oh, this is so nice. It looks like something it's not. And, like, I don't drink lemonade, right? Because, like, that would just make me go crazy. And so it's still fun to have something that feels like something else sometimes. I have one. Thanks. Thanks so much, Mickey. Is that what makes burps go away? Should I just take a sip? Okay. We're in this together. So, where was I? So, really uncomfortable, grew up, got to high school, wore, like, a couple different rotating shirts my entire sophomore year. Long sleeves, had, a, like, five to seven short sleeves, could not handle, like, anything else. Just let me cover my body, let me just go about my way and get out of my way, and I'll be okay. I have a multitude of learning disabilities, so school was really, really hard for me. Everything was just really, really difficult. And then I found diet pills, and I was like, yes, let's do this. Like, I lost some weight, I felt jittery, I liked it. There were lots of, my sister was a little out of control at the home, and it gave me something to focus on. So I've abused everything in this program, but I just solely identify as a compulsive overeater because for me that, like, encompasses everything. Like, I've done the bulimia, I've done the anorexia, I've done the overexercising very mildly. I've done it all, but for me I'm a volume eater. And so I just started engaging in a lot of unhealthy behaviors. Like, my sister taught me how to saran wrap my waist at 15 and go to the gym. And I thought that, like, I was like, every bad idea I thought was, like, a brilliant idea. And I saran wrapped my waist and my thighs and, like, my whole body and just, like, put clothes on over and, like, went to the gym and worked out. And I wasn't eating at the time. My best friend called me. And she said, I really want to lose weight for church camp. And I was like, okay. She's like, let's just stop eating. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. Let's stop eating. And I stopped eating for, like, 7 to 8 weeks and lost 45 pounds. And she started eating 3 days later. But I was determined. And that summer, I was turning 16, felt like I lost my mind, got into a car accident towards the end of the starvation because my brain was not getting any nutrition, right? I got into a bad car accident. My parents came, the whole thing. My sister showed up and said, like, is my car okay? So I thought she was a horrible person and I wanted nothing to do with her. And it was just chaos. I was abusing laxatives at the time. Nothing was going right. Was up and down with my weight. And then I went to, and, like, that's how it lasted. Like, that's what it was like through high school. Went to college. I felt like I had freedom. My mom wasn't, she wasn't paying attention to my body. She wasn't there. And, you know, and, like, now I have a lot of compassion for her. And, like, I really forgive her. Like, I don't know what it's like to have a child who's obese and be worried about them. And I'm not upset with her anymore about the way she handled it. And that's from working the steps. So, so I went to college and packed on about 40 or 50 pounds and got to my top weight and was really uncomfortable. And what happened was I went to college and I, about 6 months into college, got diagnosed with a very serious autoimmune disease and went from, like, vibrant. I mean, life wasn't going great. We all know that. But I was still, like, showing up in class and doing all those things. And then, like, my body just stopped working. Like, I couldn't walk that much. And I had to move home and have my family take care of me. And I was at my top weight, and the nutritionist said, you really need to get some weight off of your body. All the weight on your body is really hurting you. It's killing your autoimmune disease. Like, just let go of a little bit of weight. So she gave me a diet, and I did everything she said because I was in so much physical pain. I could not go on. And I lost 75 pounds in about 4 months, and it was drastic, and I was uncomfortable, and I got a lot of attention. And then I was mad at everybody for giving me attention, because why didn't you accept me when I was bigger? Like, what's wrong with you? And was just angry. And so my friend told me about Overeaters Anonymous. And I was at my thin weight, and she was not. And I was like, you should totally go to that program. Like, yeah, like, you should totally go. And she was like, oh, like, I'm telling you about it. And I was like, well, like, I was like, your portions are a little big, and you're overweight, and you should totally go. Like, I'll support you. That is how the conversation went. And 6 months later, she told me about it again, and this bomb went off. And I was at my end. You know, I was done. I could not do it anymore. I was living in Hollywood. And I lived like Hollywood and Yucca, Wilcox area. If you know that area, real nice. And and there was a subway at Hollywood, at Franklin, I think, and Highland. So there was a subway there, so I started there, and then I went to Studio City, and then I went to Burbank, and then I went to the Valley, and then I make this big circle, because I needed to only get 2 cookies per subway, because if I got more than 2 cookies per subway, you would know something was wrong with me. So I would just drive throughout the night and, like, stop at every single place and just get my fix. I was binging until 4 or 5 in the morning before I got here. My roommate caught me. I should probably ask her. It's been like almost 8 years and I still don't know. But she called me in the middle of the night. It was like 4 a.m. and she said, "Where are you?" And I was like, "What do you mean, where am I? Like, I'm getting water." She's like, "Why are you getting water? It's 4 a.m. And I'm like, "Because I'm thirsty." Because we lived right next to a CVS. And so I was like, "I'm at CVS." I was not at CVS. I was at Arby's. And then I had to go to CVS and get water so that when I came in, I could put all the food in my purse and like bring the water in. And she's like, "What are you, like?" I just remember like walking in and she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Nothing," you know, and like went to bed. Everything was unmanageable. Everything. I didn't show up to class because like I wasn't thin enough or pretty enough or funny enough, and I just wasn't enough. So like, why would I even show up? So I started flunking out of college. I was so self-obsessed. So my Eskimo told me about this program again, and I went to the Los Feliz Friday night 6 p.m. meeting. That was my first meeting. And I sat next to somebody who was like 530 pounds. There was somebody in the corner who identified as a bulimic. She was very thin. And I understood both of their heads when they spoke. And I knew I had a problem. And I surrendered in a way because I kept coming back, but I did not get abstinent for 4 more months. I was binging. I could not stop binging. I just binged all the time. I've never told this story. It's like not that super important, but just the unmanageability of like my roommate at the time, Lindsay. I remember we had plans for the Super Bowl, and she wouldn't let me wear her jeans that I went into her room and stole, and then caught me stealing her jeans just because I wanted to wear them because they were the only jeans that fit me. And I let her know, like, that wasn't cool with me. You're not letting me wear your jeans that I stole. And I cried hysterically, and I laid on my bed, and then I went to a pizza parlor, and I got an entire pizza, and I ate that entire pizza, an entire bag of chips, 2 candy bars, the list goes on. And I'm so grateful for opportunities to speak so that I can remember that. Like, that is what I get to go back to if I think showing up is inconveniencing to me, you know? I don't ever want to eat like that again, ever. And so I moved into my own apartment for the first time in my life. And for a solid month, I ate enormous amounts of food. and was terrified of like dying of a heart attack and nobody finding me because nobody had a key to my new apartment and nobody's going to know and I'm just going to die here. And I woke up on April 7th, 2008, and I woke up and I just said, enough is enough. I'm done. And I have not broken my abstinence since that date. My sponsor is somebody who is a like relapse survivor, and she just reminds me that like I don't ever have to change that date if I'm willing to show up and do the work. And I've been willing to show up and do the work for the last 8 years, a day at a time. And sometimes it feels really inconveniencing, you know? Like, sometimes it's just like, oh, my God, really? But I have a really, really big life today because of the things I learned here. And I've, like, become a woman in this program. And there's people in this room who have watched me do that. And there's people in this room I have sponsored and not sponsored. There's people who know really, really dark, deep things about me. So what it's been like, I got a sponsor, not like we say, I don't agree with this. It's just my opinion. It says like find a sponsor who has what you want. Like, I didn't know what I wanted. Like, just find somebody who will take you through the steps. You know, like somebody called me and said, I'll sponsor you. And I was like, really? Okay. Like, I was not excited about it. And I realized that now, like, she had everything I wanted. Like, I just didn't know how to get it. I was like, I don't know how to achieve what you have. My first sponsor was Christine Kay, if you guys know her. And she laid the foundation for me. So I got in and immediately started working the steps with her. And we got to, I think, around 6 or 7. And then I just felt like we got, like, to become really good friends by the end of it. And I was like, okay, I need somebody who's like, whose direction I'll take again, and it won't feel so friendly. And I found my current sponsor just because I was going out of town for the weekend or for like a couple weeks over Christmas. And I said, like, hey, can I send you my food? I just left my sponsor and I'm looking for somebody. And would you take my food? So what that means is like I email my food every day to my sponsor. And so she said, sure. And then it turned into this 5-year relationship, which is my longest relationship ever. And in the beginning, I was talking to my sponsee today. We met for step 4 before this meeting, and we were reading about resentments, and I'm definitely working through resentment right now. And the book reminds me, like, I don't have, like, if I am not willing to let go of a resentment, like, I might die. I might lose my abstinence. And I have a big one right now towards somebody. And I'm working through it. And I'm grateful for opportunities to meet and do step work. But when I did my 4th and 5th step with Christine, it gave me a lot of freedom. For the first time in my life, I got to put all those things down on paper, have somebody look at it and help me through it, and realize, like, I'm not a horrible person. I'm just really sick. I'm super sick. Like, my head is not right. And my biggest problem is that, like, I think about myself too much. And, like, my solution is just, like, eating food through it or starving through it or X, Y, and Z through it. So some of the things that I have gotten through since I've been abstinent is, I do not hate myself anymore. I woke up every single day and hated the person I was, hated myself, and felt demoralized every single morning. I cannot tell you the last time I woke up and felt demoralized or regretted the things that I put in my mouth. Like, I don't eat out of the trash can anymore. If that's all I get in this program is to, like, not eat out of the trash can again, that is a good day, you know? And those are the things that I try to remember when I think getting to a meeting takes a lot of work or meeting a sponsee takes a lot of work. So my good friend David over here asked, what are you going to talk about? I was like, probably what it's like, what happened and what it's like now. He said, you got any new material? And I was like, really? Like, what is that? And I thought about that. And so this new material is this idea. This idea that this feeling that, like, I'm really comfortable in my skin. And I did not know that was possible. I have held on to this story that a year before I got The year before I got abstinent, I was raped, and it was a horrible time in my life. I worked through it with my sponsor. I did all the outside work. It's a daily thing. But for like 8 years, I just had this idea that like it happened because I was thin, because it was right after I'd lost all that weight. And so I held on to this story that thin equals hurt and thin equals this. And this last year, I did a lot of 10 steps. I did a lot of inventories. I did a lot of writing. I did a lot of meditating in the morning. I did a lot of quiet time to let go of this idea that I'm not allowed to let my body be like where she wants to be. And so this last year, I have done a lot of step work. I've just done a lot of work in every area to let that story go. Because for me, I kept weight on to keep you away, even though that doesn't really work. But in my head, I thought it worked. And this last year, I've let go of another 21 pounds of fat and gained like 7 pounds of muscle and like feel really good in my skin. And I started this new workout challenge, which is hilarious to me that like it doesn't trigger me, that like all these other people are like, oh my God, let's talk about the diet, let's do this, and da da da. And I'm like, I'm just showing up in my body and I'm present. And I work with a nutritionist because that's the food plan that I need to work with, because I need accountability in every area of my life. And I'm grateful that I have stayed long enough to, like Luz and I were talking about, the longer I stay, the less I know. That might be depressing to the new person, but just stay, because I get more humble, and now I have all these experiences that I get to share with sponsees. And I used to, like, judge myself that, like, I didn't have this, like, perfect 11th step. And now my 11th step looks like this morning I woke up early before the alarm went off and spent 2 hours in bed just, like, reading little affirmations, reading from literature, from OA-approved literature, reading from AA-approved literature, writing in that For Today booklet that came out. Maybe we have one here. The For Today was the very first piece of literature I was given when I came to OA, and I just read it every single day, and I've picked that back up, and I've been reading that every single morning and doing that writing response. Today, I came out about 3.5-4 years ago-ish. You know, and I want to also give credit. I am in another fellowship, and I really hit bottom about 4 years into my abstinence and had to look at some other areas of my life, unwillingly, and realize, like, oh, like, I'm also an alcoholic, and was not happy about that. But that gave me a ton of freedom, too. And you know, in the first, like, four... So I got, I entered another fellowship around year four, and because I came in really young, I came in at 21, and I'm 21, 29 now, I didn't always act like a lady and with, like, grace and integrity in the first couple of years of my abstinence. I just needed to stop learning. I just needed to, like, put the food down, and I needed to learn how to not eat compulsively, And, like, I was flunking out of college. Like, I needed to learn how to just show up at class. Like, those are the things I started to do, and then I got abstinent, and I never failed another class again and graduated college 14 months later. So when I combined both of those, I feel like for the last 4 years, I have really shown up with grace and integrity and dignity. And now, like, coming out, like, I have learned how to be in an intimate relationship, and that is really challenging, and my buttons are pushed a lot, but I have learned, that, just got, like, so hot. I'm trying to think what I'm trying to say here. I have just run my entire life and I have not wanted to take responsibility for things. And this program in Over Years Anonymous has shown me how to show up like a lady, whether I like it or not. And I am really grateful that I have stayed and that I get to pass that on. And that I'm doing the work. I did an inventory yesterday. I really hate inventories, 10-step inventories. I really hate them. They make me very uncomfortable. I really resist them because they make me look at the truth. But I have gotten so much freedom when I'm willing to do them. And I have been sitting on one for about 2 months that I finally was willing to do. And so I did that, and my sponsor said, okay, great, and we need to, like, revise it. And I was like, really? And, like, add more things to it. So, anyway, I'm just really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be present, and I'm grateful that I don't have to do it perfectly anymore. And I'm grateful that we all show up here. For the newcomer, find somebody who will take you through the steps of Over Years Anonymous, who will take your calls, who will hold you accountable. That is what I needed. I got the For Today book. That's what I needed when I got here. I read that every single day. And today I do 2 to 3 meetings in this program, 2 to 3 in my other program. I work with a nutritionist because that's what works for me and that's what helps me. I couldn't do that for the first few years. It was way too uncomfortable to me. I work the steps. I'm working the traditions right now with my sponsor. I work out in a kind and loving way. I take care of my body. I eat really clean. Like, people tell me that, like, sometimes, like, I'm the healthiest person they know, which is hilarious because I used to eat McDonald's 3 times a day. And I just don't hate myself because I've worked the 12 steps. And now the traditions, which I'm really enjoying, and sponsoring and being sponsored. And the last thing I want to say is that I loved when people talked about traveling the world and staying abstinent, and I got to do that last year. I went on a very, very awesome and challenging trip to Europe for 25 days with my girlfriend and her parents, and I quickly learned that it was a trip, not a vacation, and her father, her stepfather works for an airline company, and so everything is right on time. If you're not on time, you're in trouble. And when I'm traveling Europe, I want to just relax and be and enjoy. And yes, a lot of that happened, but it was very challenging, extremely challenging. And here's what I did. I listened to these podcasts all the time. I wrote gratitude lists in the car all the time, late at night. I asked if we could, like, go to the market so we could get some food that, you know, like, brings me sanity. I emailed my sponsor. She emailed me back. I emailed her again. Like, I emailed fellows. I kept in contact with people. And so what I've learned is that this program has to be tangible, and I have to be able to take it everywhere. I don't know. I'm just going to stop because I'm, like, for whatever reason, like, totally blanking. So I'm not just going to keep chatting. So I'm really grateful. I'm not just, like, make stuff up. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful all of you are here. So thanks. Okay. So now it's time for questions if anyone has any.
So much for your share, Elise. And I wondered if you could talk about your experience using weight as a barrier and what it's been like to let go of it.
So the question is, how did I use weight as a barrier and what has it been like to let go of it? How did I use weight as a barrier? Well, I used it to keep people away. I felt like it was my safety. It also kept me living a really small life. I guess this last year I've let go of those like last 20 pounds. Before that, I guess I lost 45 pounds in program. The only way I did it is, thanks. The only way I did it is a lot of prayer and a lot of trust. And trusting that I will be safe no matter the size of my body. And that I would look around at other people who are thinner than me and say, well, he or she's not being hurt. Like, why do I think mine has to be any different? You know, like, and because I got abstinent, I took new actions and I didn't put myself in positions to be hurt. You know, and that's not to say that I'm very clear that what happened to me is not my fault, but when I'm in my disease, I'm extremely insecure, and I go looking for ways to make myself feel better, and sometimes I hang out with bad people. And so if I say I've stayed abstinent, and so I've continued to make right choices. And so today I feel comfortable because a lot of prayer, a lot of patience, a lot of meditation, and talking to people who get it. So just for today, I feel safe and comfortable in my skin.
Thanks. Thank you for your share. You talked a lot about step 11. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with a higher power and how that's changed?
The question was, I talked a lot about step 11. What is my experience with step 11 and my relationship with a higher power?
Specifically the higher power part.
Yeah. Okay, what's my relationship with the higher power? I grew up with the Christian God, and I still believe in that God. But my relationship is also, it's really just like an energy and a feeling. It's not something I can fully describe, but when I connect to God, that's what I use, that's the term I use. It's like I feel like I'm in like alignment, you know. God to me is love and compassion, and I don't have like this like major definition. I just know that like when I connect to my higher power through prayer or quiet time in the morning or reading my affirmations or it's meeting with my sponsees, it's like this awareness to me and being present. Being present is like a God thing to me, and it keeps evolving. And sometimes the God that I grew up with is not the God of today, but I believe in both of them. And I just go with, like, where do I feel right and centered? So thanks. Jeff? Okay.
Thank you, Brooke. You talked about being in a fellowship. I was wondering how you balanced working the steps in more than one program, if you did it twice, or how you felt that.
The question is, how did I balance being in two programs?
And right. Specifically working the steps.
And working the steps. So I had almost worked all of the steps in OA when I got into AA. So it was fine. I had started, like, I had gotten, like, to, like, 9 in OA, and then my sponsor was like, we need to go back and, like, work 1, 2, and 3 again. So it was a little back and forth. And then the only balance I can really say is that I made them be equal so that I didn't think one was less or better than the other, because I really struggled to accept that I needed the other program. So I went to 3 meetings there and 3 meetings in OA all the time, and I, like, balanced it out. I made sure that I stayed in the center of OA when I was in that other fellowship. I'm still there. Because I didn't want to think that maybe that was just my problem, you know? And so I sponsored a lot of women, gratefully, at the time. But for me, I just, if I make them equal, then I don't get to, like, maneuver around it. You know what I mean? I hope that helps.
Thanks so much, Laura. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with your family and recovery and, like, if you shared your program with them and you talked about, like, feeling like your sisters were more beautiful and how's that all been influenced by your recovery?
So the question is, what is the relationship like with my family today now that I'm in recovery? They're really supportive of my program. Nobody else is in program except for me. I guess I just apply, first, they're really respectful. So, like, I can use certain languages with them, you know, like, and they're not in program, but they do their own personal development. So I feel like we've kind of all grown. But, my sister was the biggest struggle, one of my sisters. I had deep, deep resentment towards her, and I constantly played the victim, and as soon as I made my amends to her, she got a job in LA, and she was living in Nashville, and she moved out here a month after I made those amends to her, and I kind of cut her out for a while. I just couldn't deal. I was like, you just stay over there. I'm not going to look at my card. And once I went through that night step with her, I got to work through that relationship for the last 2 years. And so because I have changed, it, like, if they don't ever change, that's okay. Because I get to act differently today. And I get to show up for them. And I get to show up on time, which is something I never did before. And some things I guess I have noticed is they've noticed the change in me. And I don't know. None of us have had, like, a major issue except for me and my sister. But I have just learned that people don't change sometimes. I have to change. And so there's nothing I can think that other than, like, a bunch of 10 steps and a bunch of inventory that I've had to look at, and loving them where they're at and no longer taking their inventory and wondering if they need a program. I have no idea what is right for anybody, and I have found that here. And, you know, I went to dinner with my sister last night, that one that I've struggled with my whole life, and I went to dinner with her last Friday, and I just get to continue, like, making living amends, because she has been my biggest struggle, and vice versa. I am not innocent. So, yeah, thanks.
How does program show up in your romantic relationship?
Well, she's really accepting. She's not an addict, which is baffling to me. she threw away a box of donuts yesterday because they went bad. I'm like, it's only been 2 days. Like, I don't understand why are you throwing that away? She never complains about me going to meetings. She's completely supportive. I get to lay in bed and do 10 steps while she's next to me. How it shows up, she is petite and weighs a lot less than I do. And on that first date, I thought, why would you be attracted to me? You are so much thinner than me. And I thought, I would never want her to say the same thing about me. Oh, I don't like Laura because she's bigger than me. And I could have walked away from that just because she's smaller than me. She's just a petite human being. And now I love it. She, like, her favorite thing to do is just to, like, lay right on top of me at bedtime because she's just, like, so comfortable. And it's, like, the cutest thing. And I'm like, do you want to just, like, lay on me, you know? And she just lays on me and falls asleep because she's like a feather, you know? And I love it. And I could have missed that if I had, like, let my ego get the best of me. And I don't look at her and think, oh, I need to be your size. Like, I've just accepted, like, this is your body type and this is my body type. We're both okay. And I've gotten there because have accepted intolerance of her food. My life was unmanageable. And, like, can I turn this over to God? You know? And it shows up by, like, being of love and service to her and putting her needs equal to mine. You know? It's bringing her dinner tonight. Like, she lives in Orange County, and, like, I'm going to drive down there tonight and grab her dinner because she's had a long work week. It's just those little things of, like, thinking of another person before I think of myself, which is really hard sometimes. So thanks.